The time is now. We're continuing today in a series that we've been in that we started last week. And we borrowed the video from another church, and we're not just in the book of Haggai. We're bouncing around from Ezra to Haggai to Zechariah, because this story that we're studying is found in all three of those books. And as I mentioned last week, this is a story that God used in a very profound way in my life two different times. And if you want to know that story, come back in 2 weeks, because I'm going to tell that story and how powerfully God used that. It was God used it in such a powerful way in my life that without God using this particular story that we're going to look at today, we all would not be sitting in this room right now. That's how monumental it was in my life. And so I'm excited to share that in 2 weeks. So come back. And I'm excited. I think you will come back because y'all showed up today when there's snow all over the ground. Holy cow. That's awesome. You got kind of trickling in, but that's totally understandable. That was amazing. So thanks for coming. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Haggai chapter 1, because that's where we're going to be. And as you're turning there, I just want to kind of set up where we're going. This series also coincides with 21 days of prayer and fasting, as my lovely wife mentioned earlier today. That was my wife who talked about that a little earlier. And so we're going to be fasting as a church. And fasting is where you just disconnect with some things of the world, like media or some types of like luxurious types of food, choice foods, as the Bible would call it, so that you can connect in a greater way with God. And I've discovered two truths about fasting every time I've done it. And that is, number one, it's hard. It's not always fun. But number two, it always yields some really good spiritual fruit in my life. There's always some good results. And I got to thinking about that this week, and I thought, man, isn't it true that everything that in life, when you think about the things that are like what's best for us or what's right, doing what's right, that they're usually not the easiest things to do. You know what I'm talking about? I think y'all probably do, because around this time of year, we make these things called resolutions, right? And what are the top resolutions every year? Do you know what it is? I looked it up just to verify, fact check myself. You know what it is? Eating healthy, weight loss, eating healthy, working out, spending less, and saving more. I think number four was something like living life to the fullest, but who really knows what that means? And so think about it. Eating healthy, working out, spending less, saving more. We say these things because when we think about ourselves at the end of the year and where those things are going to take us, we think, that's where I want to be. For example, I did a little mental exercise this week, and I thought about my future self at the end of 2016. Where do I want to be as a person? It's like getting a vision for your life. That's how you really make some good resolutions, right? And so I found this picture. I think it kind of represents where I'm going. I don't know if you're with me. This guy kind of looks like me, right? I was like, man, if I shaved the beard. But if you'll notice, if I had a tight shirt on, you'd probably tell he's a little beefier than me, all right? And ladies, that's a good thing. You all want to slim down? We want to beef up a little bit, all right? And so when I look at this, you know what I see? I see a guy who's been working out, right? He's getting in shape. And that's not just something I like to do. That's what's best for me. You might say wrong or right, it's probably the right thing to do, to stay in shape, right? So he's kind of beefy. But you'll notice, I can almost see his six-pack coming through his shirt. He's kind of ripped, which means he's been eating healthy, right? And so I want to be eating healthy this year, man, because not only is it going to get me to where this guy is, but if you really think about what's best for you, eating healthy, right? And you can't really tell it from this picture, but you can kind of see it in his eyes that he's got this confidence. And I think that comes from he got up every day and he read his Bible and he prayed. He had a time of prayer. And so this guy's just confident in his faith, right? You also can't tell it from this picture, but the future me that I'm projecting on this unknown man is he's also been obedient to God the whole year. He just made a decision. You know what? I'm just going to be obedient to Christ in every single thing I do. And there's something that happens when we make that decision, and you know what it is? It bears this kind of fruit in our lives, the result of being faithful to God. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And so it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, who wouldn't say they want those things? And so being obedient to God, doing the things that God calls us to do, they're not only the things that are what's right, they're not only what's best, they're the things that when we think about them, we would say, man, if I could really think about my life and think about where I want to go, that's how I want to be. I think we would all agree with that. Like, I want to do the things that are what's best because they're going to get me where I need to go. And yet, statistically speaking, only 8% of people follow through on their resolutions every year. You know why that is? I think it's a really simple answer. Is it because we look at our future self and go, you know, I just don't want to be healthier. I just don't want to look like that guy. And I just don't want to have more money in the bank. I just don't want to. Is that why? No, it's because we look at that and go, oh, I'd really like to, but it's hard. It's hard to get up early and work out. It's hard to eat right. You know, it's hard to be faithful to God, isn't it? And that's what the people in the story that we're going to look at were dealing with. You see, God had cast a vision for their future. If you know Jeremiah 29:11, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God was telling them while they were in captivity in Babylon. They were there for 70 years. And God said, I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. And I want you to rebuild the temple. And I want to rebuild this city. And he gave them all these awesome promises about the blessings that were going to overflow. He's casting a vision going, look at it. Isn't it awesome? And what I need you to know before we jump in today, what I need you to know is this is not just something God said, I want you to do. I want you to build the temple like some hard obedience that they didn't want to do. This was something they wanted to do. If you could ask them, do you want to rebuild this temple? Like 10 years from now, do you prefer that the temple is built and that your city's built up and that you're being obedient to God? Every one of them would have said, yes, yes, that's what we want. Just like the days of Solomon. And yet, as we talked about last week, they got stuck for 15 years. They got so discouraged that they began to doubt God's promises and God's calling on their lives. And they completely gave up. But then God raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to give them a message in order to help them do not only what he wanted them to do, but if they could have decided really what they wanted to do, but they just found it too difficult. And so what I want to do today is spend some time in Haggai chapter 1, and I want to see the message that God is sending these people. Because I got news for you. If we're going to be obedient to God, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. And we need to hear what God says to his people today through Haggai. So Haggai chapter 1, we'll start in verses 2 through 4. This is what it says. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai again, and he said, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, if you were here last week, we looked briefly at these two verses because God is saying to his people, what he's doing here is he's confronting their wrong mindset. In other words, as we talked about last week, they face some opposition. Things got hard and they began to say to themselves, you know what? This is really hard right now. It must not be time to do what God wants me to do, right? But then they got distracted, if you remember last week, right? They got distracted and they were like, well, it's not time to do that, to do what God wants me to do. And really what I think would be best for me in the long run. But I've got plenty of time to do this over here, which was just focus on their own households, to focus on their own lives. And that's what they were doing. And God brings this up and he goes, listen, you guys are thinking about this all wrong. He confronts their wrong mindset. They were saying, man, we would love to be obedient to God, but it's just too hard. It must not be the right time yet. And I think that a lot of us struggle with that type of mindset as well. And so I want to kind of confront that a little bit in us today, okay? We want to be obedient to God, and yet we find a lot of the things that God calls us to do are just hard. They're just difficult. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought, you know what it's like? I think it's kind of like working out, right? Has anybody in here ever lifted weights? Or has anybody in here ever tried to lift weights? Or, oh, there we go. We got some more hands. All right. Right? If you're like me, after college, I kind of let myself go a little bit, okay? Just going to be honest with you. I like to work out, like to stay in shape, but I let myself go a little bit. And I kind of got out of shape. And what I found is when you start back trying to get back in shape, it is really, really hard. In fact, this year is like the first winter that I've resolved, like I am going to work out all winter because I don't want to get to spring and try to get back in shape. It's just hard to get back in shape. But if you stay in shape and you maintain it, it's not too difficult, right? But if you've ever lifted weights, you get in there, say you're not in shape, right? And so you get, you know, like a 20 pounder, right? And you start lifting on it, right? I'm going to have to be careful so my shirt doesn't rip out here. You start lifting on it. And you know what your mind is saying? Your mind is saying, this is too hard. I can't do this. Why did I resolve to do this year? But your muscle goes, you just did it, right? And then your mind goes, I can't do another one. And this goes on for the rest of the workout, right? And then you wake up the next day and you're like really sore and you're like, I don't ever want to do that again. And your mind's still telling you, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. It's hard. Lifting weights is hard. It's called resistance training. And some of us in this place think that when we follow God, if we experience opposition or resistance, we go, man, God must not be with me. It's not the right time. Does God even care? Why is it so hard? But what I've learned is God will allow some resistance in your life in order to grow your faith. Do you know how lifting weights helps you get stronger? Do you know what happens when you face that resistance? Scientists say your muscles in there, they actually start tearing. They have micro tears that happen. That's why it's painful. That's why when you wake up the next day, you're sore. But if you rest for a little bit, after a little bit of rest, you know what your body does? It repairs those tears and you're a little stronger than you were before. And what I've found in my life is that it works the same way spiritually. That God will let you face some opposition, some resistance. And in your soul, you're like, man, I can't do this, God. And so you decide to exercise your faith muscle and you get on your knees and it's painful sometimes. You're like, God, I can't do this. God, help me. Feels like it's tearing. But then you see God come through and answer those prayers and you go, wow, God is awesome. He just came through. And you know what happens? Your faith muscle heals a little stronger through that resistance and through that difficulty. And the next time you're going in to work out your faith muscle, you get in there and you go, you know what? This is kind of hard, but that means I'm growing in my faith. Bring it on because I know my God will come through. And that's what I've found happens to me when I get in shape, right? I mean, I get in shape and you know what I've learned? What I used to dread, now I got a couple of my buddies going, hey, you want to go run 14 miles and jump over obstacles while we do it? I used to think that was crazy. Now I look at that and go, let's see here. It's uncomfortable. It's going to be hard. I'll be really sore the next day. Oh, that means I'm going to grow. I'm going to get stronger. Sign me up. Let's do it. And so I think we just need to change our mindset. And that's what God is telling them in this story. The first thing we've got to do, if we want to get to where God wants us to go, if we want to be obedient to his calling, is we've got to change our mindsets. You got to change your mindset. Listen to what God says next in the story. Verse 5, it says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. If you write in your Bible, underline that word thought. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. God's describing the way that they've been living and how it's when they've been living selfishly, not doing what God wants them to do, but just doing what's easy, doing what they want to do. He's like, I just want you to stop and think about that. How's that working for you? Is it fulfilling your soul? And so God says, give careful thought to this. I find it interesting that what God does not say, think about this. What he wants them to do is to do what he called them to do. And yet what he does not say is, hey, stop it. Do what I told you to do. He doesn't say that. What he says is, give careful thought to the way that you've been living. Give careful thought. Why would he say this? Why would he challenge their mindset? Give careful thought. Because our thoughts determine our beliefs, and our beliefs determine our actions, and our actions determine how we live our lives, and how we live our lives determine how we live in eternity. And so God gets right to the root and he says, I want you to change your mindset, how you've been thinking about life and how you've been thinking about me. Give careful thought to your ways. Romans 12:2 says it this way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you catch that? It says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I like the way the Message paraphrase puts it. It says, don't simply just fit into your culture without even thinking about it. So many of us just live our lives and we just do what's in front of us. We just live the way we've always lived, the way we grew up, just where this current of life is taking us. And we never stop to consider our ways, to give careful thought to how we're living and where we're going. And listen to the promise in this. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Think about that. That's a challenge to think about, well, how does the world live versus how God calls us to live? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change your mindset. And here's the promise. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you are coming into 2016 going, man, God, I just want to know, what is your will for my life this year? What is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? What should I be doing? God says the first thing, before you get to doing, get to thinking. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's one of the reasons that we're starting out this year, and we start out every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because it strips you down. It shuts off the media part. If you fast that, it takes away a lot of the comfort foods that we rely on to give us joy in life, right? And then you're left with silence, yourself, and God, right? And it gives you time to think about, man, there's all these voids in my life now, and start thinking about the way that you're living. Wow, I watch a lot of TV, don't I? You know, it's like, wow, I didn't even realize I did that. Give careful thought to your ways, to your ways, to your ways. Your ways, as the Bible would say it, it's like the regular way that you live your life, okay? Another way we might say this is your habits. What are your customs? You wake up, and what's your morning routine? Does it involve a devotion with God or not? Why or why not? You're too busy? Is there a way to not be too busy? You know, asking questions, giving thought to your ways. That's one of the things you need to be doing through this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Give careful thought to your ways. Are there any ways or habits that you need to give up? Any harmful or sinful habits? Any distracting or time-wasting habits? What is the result? What is the outcome of engaging in those things? Because here's what I think happens so many times. We look at what God wants us to do. We look at maybe a calling God places on our lives, and we go, man, I would love to do that. I just don't have any time. And we never stop to think about why we don't have any time or why it's so hard. And if we were to stop and think, what we would find, I think, most of the time are all of these things, all of these ways, all of these habits in our lives that we do without even thinking about it, that are what is getting in the way of us doing what God wants us to do. And a lot of times, I know in my life, they're not even blatantly sinful things. It's not like I'm going out and sinning in some great way and it's keeping me from God's will in my life. You know what it is? It's living in paneled houses. It's getting focused on my life and doing what I want to do and all these time-wasting, distracting things that just get in the way between me and God. And God's challenging our mindset this morning and through this fast to go, no. Think about the outcome of your ways. Where do you want to be at the end of this year? Do you want to be close to me? Do you want to be obedient to me? Do you want to love me more? Do you want to sense my presence in a greater way? Do you want to have grown in your faith? Then consider your ways. Consider your ways. So spend some time on that through the fast. The second thing you might think about is, are there any new habits that God wants you to engage in? Maybe daily devotions. Maybe going to church on a regular basis. Maybe living on a budget so that you can save money and get out of debt and be more generous. Maybe it's serving at church. Maybe it's praying with your spouse daily. What are some of the new habits that God wants you to engage in? And don't just think about, oh, those would be cool things to do. No. Think about where you want to go and then back up and go, what do I need to engage in? What are the things I need to be doing to get to where I want to go? And here's what you'll find. When you think about you at the end of this year, where you want to be, think about the ideal you as God sees you, where God wants you to be, have grown in your faith, to be a more loving, joyful, generous person who's content with their life. I mean, that's where God, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's where God wants you to go. Think about that. Think about what it's going to take to lead you there. And here's what you find, I will almost promise you. It's not going to be easy. It is so much easier to just do whatever you want, to wake up, not think about your day, and just do what's in front of you, and to get home and fall in front of the TV and then go to sleep and get up and do it all over again. And to just not even consider your ways, not even think about where you're going and what gets you there. It will be difficult. And so the first thing we've got to do is change our mindset and understand it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But the second thing we've got to do is this: choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It was easy for these people to face some difficulty and hardship and go, man, it just must not be the right time yet. What was hard, but also right, was for them to persevere and finish doing what God had called them to do. You know, it's easy to keep that sin you struggle with a secret. But it's also hard and also right to confess it and ask for help. It's easy to keep charging your credit card and going further into debt to just get whatever you want. It's hard and right to deny yourself those things and live below your means. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's hard and right to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. It's easy to follow the crowd. It's hard and right to be different and not conform. It's easy to get discouraged when people are against you or circumstances are against you and to just quit and throw in the towel. It's hard but right to persevere and always do what's right. We've got to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It's going to be hard. Accept that. But you need a mindset that tenaciously decides in advance that no matter what, you are going to be faithful to what God has called you to do. It's what I would call a Daniel mindset. You remember Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 1, it says that he's living in Babylon, this country that does not worship God, and it has all these different customs, and they wanted him to eat a certain diet. And Daniel didn't want to do it because God said not to eat certain things, and he wanted to be faithful to God. And so it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself by eating the royal food. Now we look at that, and by the way, that's where we get the terminology Daniel fast, fruits and veggies, because that's what he ate at that time. We look at that and go, man, that would have been hard to limit your diet in that way. But what you may not realize is that he could have died. He could have been executed for this. They could have looked at him and said, you're not being obedient to the king. Kill him. And yet he had resolved in his mind. He had a mindset, a tenacious mindset that said, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what, no matter how hard it is, because I want to do what's right. I don't care about what's easy. It's a tenacious mindset. And the people of his time may have looked at him and said, you know, it's going to be hard to eat that way in Babylon of all places. And Daniel just said, I don't care. I'm going to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. They may have looked at him and said, they may kill you. And he said, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And that's the third thing we've got to choose to do. We've got to choose to do it anyway. Because when you get started being obedient to God, you're going to find it's hard. And you're trying to be obedient. But man, you've just got to persevere. And you've got to develop that Daniel-esque tenacious mindset that says, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And that's essentially what God tells these people in this passage. Haggai 1 verses 7 and 8. Says, this is what the Lord says. Listen to this. Again, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. In other words, after God challenges their mindset, the fact that, oh, it was hard, so we gave up. He goes, listen, you know that thing I wanted you to do? And I told you to do like 17 years ago, and you did it okay for 2 years, but then you got so discouraged you gave up. You know that thing? Guess what? I still want you to do that. But it's hard. We're facing opposition. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. There's a song that I heard a few years ago by Martina McBride. Any country music fans in the house here? Like three? All right, cool. Awesome. All right. And it really helped me as a person think differently about the hard obedience God calls us to sometimes. It's called Do It Anyway. And this is, I just want to read you some of the lyrics. It says, you can spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so far out of reach. And you know it might not ever come your way. Dream it anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. But I do it anyway. This world's gone crazy, and it's hard to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. Believe it anyway. You can love someone with all your heart for all the right reasons, and in a moment, they can choose to walk away. Love them anyway. You can pour your soul out singing a song you believe in that tomorrow they'll forget you ever sang. Sing it anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out the way I think it should. But I do it anyway. Doing what's right is not always doing what's easy. Do it anyway. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. So how do you find the willpower and the strength to do it anyway. Because what I've learned is when it really gets tough and you're like, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway, man, you've got to have some kind of inner willpower, something in you that helps you choose that hard right over that easy wrong. And I want you to notice what God said. You know how he said, give careful thought to your ways, right? The way you've been living, living selfishly, ignoring what I want you to do. When he says this, he says the same thing. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountain, get the timber, bring it down, build my house. And you know what God's doing? He's casting that vision for them again. He's saying, think about if you were to do the things that I call you to do. And think about where those things are going to take you in life. Think about yourself 5 years from now. Think about yourself 3 years from now. Think about yourself 1 year from now if you do what God calls you to do on a daily basis. Where is that going to lead you? I got a few examples because I just want to cast this vision for you, because we get so bogged down in the hardship sometimes that we get discouraged. Maybe God's calling you, the hard thing he's calling you to do for the first time is to follow Jesus. Make a decision to follow Jesus. The Bible says we need to confess that he is Lord, repent of our sin, believe and be baptized. And there are some people in this room who've never done those things. Or maybe you've never done one of those things. Maybe you've confessed Christ as Lord, but you've never been baptized. And the reason that you haven't yet is not because you don't want to be faithful to God. It's not that you don't want to follow God. You look at those things and you go, man, there's some hard things about that. Like people are going to know that I'm a Christian, you know? But consider your ways. If you were to live that way, where's that going to take you in life? You know what the result of those things is? Salvation, everlasting life. This life is like nothing. It's a breath. It's a mist that's here and then gone. But if you do those things, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess and be baptized, you're going to heaven. Who cares what else happens the rest? Who cares how hard life is? Paul says our present troubles aren't even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider the things God calls you to do. Maybe in your finances this year, maybe at the turn of the year, you're like, man, I want to spend less. I want to get on a budget, right? Those things are in the Word of God. Not living in debt. God doesn't want us in debt. He wants us to be more generous. Everybody in here would say, man, I would love to have control of my finances so that I could spend less, save more, and be a more generous person. That's what God wants for you. Consider your ways. What's it going to take to get there? Living on a budget. It's going to be hard. But think about where you'll be in a year or 2 years or 3 years when you're out of debt, when you're not having fights in your marriage about money because you're on a budget and you're on the same page. Because you have the joy of generosity, because you can give. Consider your ways. Consider where they're leading. In your health, maybe this year you're like, man, I really do want to eat right and exercise. You know, I really do. I want to get healthy. I think God wants us to be healthy people. Consider your ways. It's going to be difficult, right? But think about you at the end of this year, a healthier you. What are the results of that? You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel better. You're going to live longer. You're going to be more able to do the things God calls you to do because you're a healthier person. Maybe in your marriage, you need to think about where God's leading you. Maybe your marriage isn't that great right now. And you're like, man, God, I look at the end of this year and I would love to be in a marriage that's unified, that's full of love and joy and peace. And God wants that for you. What's it going to take to get there? Praying with your spouse, repenting of anything you've done wrong, and then serving them. Serving them. It's going to be hard. Those things aren't easy at certain seasons in marriage. But they get you where God wants you to go and where you would want to go if you could really think about it. Consider your ways. Think about the way that you're living. Think about the way God wants you to live. Consider the outcomes of each of those. Consider your ways. And if you find anything that's incongruent with how God wants you to live and where God wants you to go, you know what you need to do? Repent. That's a really churchy word. I always associate it with hell for some reason, you know? Like, oh, we're going to hell. He's talking about repenting, right? Repent. You know, there's two words in the Bible for repentance, the Hebrew word and the Greek word. The Hebrew word means to turn around. You know what the Greek word means? Change your mind. Change your mind. Following Jesus is not always easy, but it gets you where God wants to go, and it gets you where you want to go. Consider your ways. Change your mindset. It's going to be hard. Cool. Choose to do the hard right over the easy wrong. And when it gets tough, and when you want to give in, and when you want to give up, do it anyway. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. And God, we just pray that you would help us over the next several days, the coming weeks, to just consider our ways, God, to just think about where we're going, to think about the way that we're living. And God, if we see anything inconsistent or incongruent with your word, that God, we would just repent, that we would just change our mindset to realize those things don't lead where you want us to go. They don't lead ultimately where we want to go, because where we want to go and where we want to be is with you, Jesus, forever. And God, we want to be with you, and we want to do your work here on this earth. We want to see you glorified. We want to see you just do greater and greater things in our hearts and in our minds, God. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us repent, show us the things. God, search us and know us, and bring to light the things that you want us to change. And God, when we do that, God, we just pray that you would give us the power and the strength to do what you've called us to do. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.